Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word. Let's go ahead and read from the book of Matthew chapter 1. I'm going to give you five testimonies, five Christmas testimonies. And from those, you're going to receive encouragement in your faith. We all need encouragement. Everyone needs encouragement. We all need it ongoingly, over and over and over. Don't hesitate to encourage someone. Tell them, come on, look to the person on the right or left and say, come on, you're going to make it. Come on, turn to somebody else and say, hey, the best is yet to come. Come on, say, hey, you're the head and not the tail. Go ahead, tell them. You're the head, not the tail. Look at somebody else and say, did you lose 20 pounds? Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. This is how the birth, reading from the NIV tonight. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, before what? Before they came together. She was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. I mean, that's quite a verse. Verse 19, because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. So, just to give you some commentary, they're pledged or betrothed, which is basically the same as marriage without the consummation of marriage. Can I just say it graciously that way? So they have not come together. In other words, for her to be pregnant, it's impossible in the natural. Verse 20, but after he had considered this, the angel of the Lord. So she, can you imagine? Can you imagine being Joseph? Hi, Joe. Hi, Mary. I have some news. Oh, you do? Yes, I'm pregnant. What? Who did it? God, excuse me, the Lord overshadowed me. What's that mean? You're just going to have to talk to God. I mean, and then she walks off. I mean, can you imagine being Mary? So he's like, we're definitely getting divorced. And all the men said, amen. Got one man. Everybody else is terrified to say amen, but not Pastor Gill. He's like, amen. All the other men are like, smart. So he walks off considering this. Look at the next verse. But after he considered this, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She'll give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And that's what the name Jesus or Joshua or Yeshua means. Verse 22, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. Turn to Luke chapter 1. Luke 1, New International Version again, verse 35. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you. Now, this is the angel talking to Mary, and she's asked, how is this going to happen again? I do not know a man. I have not known a man. Can you tell me how this is going to happen again? And here's what the angel says. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. It's a beautiful picture of creation and the Spirit of God hovering over the waters. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, And she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. Verse 37, I had them say it last night. I'm going to have you say it as well. Get it in your heart, indelibly in your heart and on your mind. Verse 37, read it out loud, whatever version you have. For no word from God will ever fail. Say it again. For no word from God will ever fail. Try it on your own. Ready? For no
word from God will ever fail.
Absolutely right. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. Go to Luke chapter 2 and let's stand now. I think you can endure the rest of these verses. Luke 2. Sounds like a herd of buffalo out there. It's a sign that something's happening in our youth. We look forward to when they're upstairs, which will be in about a month. They got the BDA, bidirectional amplification system. It'll be put in January 15th. Shortly thereafter, Minister Hank is going to get our next approval, and we'll get our whole upstairs from the fire department. Can you say amen? Luke chapter 2, verse 17. And when they had seen him, they spread word concerning what they had been told about the child. This is the shepherds. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Go to verse 25 of Luke 2, and then I'm going to preach the word to you. Luke chapter 2 and verse 25, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. What was his name? Simeon. Who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. Ooh. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit. Would you say that? Moved by the Spirit. He went into the temple courts. When the parents brought the child to Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and he praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you've prepared in the sight for all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory for your people Israel. And the child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign they'll be spoken against so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed and a sword will pierce your own soul too. There was also a prophet, Anna, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage. And then she was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child and all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Let's pray. Father, we stand before you on this night. So grateful for all you've done. We could close and say we've had church. We've been impacted already. People healed, people touched. Thank you. For your word is a lamp unto our feet, a light upon our path. I pray that you would give us living understanding tonight, that we would never be the same as a result of your word, that you stand over to see it fulfilled and performed in our lives. Holy Spirit, come. Would you just begin to pray? Lay hands on your own heart. Come on, pray that God would give you ears to hear, a heart to respond. We're not here for a lecture. We're here to minister to you, to minister to each other, and to hear a life-changing word. Release your power, God, upon this message. Yet again, I ask in the name that's above every other name, in the name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated tonight. In the book of Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12 through 14, it talks about encouraging one another daily. See to it that no one has a sinful, unbelieving heart. So there's a process of encouragement that's very important in our lives because you can get discouraged. I won't ask you to raise your hand if you were ever overcome by discouragement or overwhelmed by your circumstances, but it's most of us. I mean, welcome to the human race. We can all go through things that can be discouraging, and it's wonderful to have encouragers around us. My wife is my number one encourager. My mother is a great encourager to me. There's people a part of the church that just will just contact or send an email and say, just want to let you know, you're doing a great job, even when I feel at times that I could do better, and we can all do better. Raise your hand if you could do better. And we're all becoming more Christ-like by the grace of God day after day. Verse 12, Hebrews 3, see to it. Everybody say, see to it. See to it, brothers and sisters. There's only two genders, brothers and sisters. That none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart and turns away from the living God. So that's terrifying. You could turn away from God. But encourage one of the daily, as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Wow. So what's encouraging to me is when we look at these testimonies in Scripture, and not just testimonies in Scripture, but your testimony, my testimony, our story. Pastor Gill, when he introduced me yesterday at that powerful church, and God's going to give us a building, and you're going to double. Come on, everybody say, God's giving us another building, and we're going to double. Amen. Now, I don't know if you're going to double first and then get the building, and get the building and then double, but God's on the move in Eagle River. There's well over 300 plus people. They're thriving. Thriving. It's a thriving church in Eagle River. And I'm so proud of you and the whole team. They're a great team of leaders. Dusty Filimoni is being made a minister. And we're excited about that also. Well, Pastor Gill, when he introduces me, he gets up and he just takes a minute. I mean, pretty much your congregation knows who I am. But he takes a minute to testify. And he pretty much says the same thing. And he means it from his heart. When he came here, he was done with church. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but just to paraphrase, he was done. He didn't want to go to church. It was through. Still loved God, but was kind of on the way to a backslide. His wife came, got touched by God in our church in Lucille Street. And I don't know, we were prophesying over some people. Something happened that got her attention. She went back and told her husband, you need to go to church with me. The pastor prophesied. He's like, what? Because he hadn't seen that before, I guess. It was guest speakers that came to prophesy, and he just got touched, and he came in and got impacted. Went and served at Primrose, heard a powerful word that changed his life, and he's one of our pastors right now. Listen, that ought to encourage you. God can take you wherever you are. It's a testimony. God, if God did it for him, he can do it for you. Amen. Come on, say it. If God did it for somebody else, he can do it for me. And so these testimonies here that we read encourage us. The first one I want to look at, write in your notes, Mary. Mary's faith is seen as surrender. Verse 38, I'm the Lord's servant, Mary answered, may your word to me be fulfilled. What a marvelous moment in Mary's life where she surrendered to the will of God. Some people have the mistaken idea that she had to do it. She didn't have to do it because God had another Mary that could do it. God could have chosen somebody else. And yet she surrendered. And you had to know that in her mind, well, I'm not certain. Maybe the glory of God was so overwhelming that she didn't think of the outcome that would take place by her saying yes, by her submitting. But because she surrendered, because she submitted to the will of God, God used her in a way that he would never use another woman the rest of before all time and time after and eternity. There's only one virgin that would carry the Messiah, Mary. Psalm 38 says, delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. You know, and sometimes the desires of our heart, we can get ahead of the plan of God. Her desire was to marry Joseph, certainly, and then God intervened and caused a possible problem. She didn't know how it would work out. If you'll surrender to God, Mary's faith is seen as surrender. Are you surrendered to God's word? Are you surrendered to God's will? Are you surrendered to his authority? Is he the Lord of your life? I love what someone said years ago. If he's not the Lord of all, he's not the Lord at all. So how do you know if he's the Lord? When he asks you to do something you don't want to do, that would be an indication. And you surrendered to it. When I was younger in the Lord, and I'm beginning to grow up now, I was a late bloomer. When I was younger in the Lord, I was concerned that maybe God would want me to do something that would really alter my life. It would be like he'd send me to Timbuktu. I don't know. I don't want to serve God, because if I do, I'm going to be like on the somewhere in Zimbabwe or somewhere in the rainforest of Brazil. I don't want to serve God. He's going to make me do something I don't want to do. You know, that is totally not what happens. You start, each and every one of us had a divine assignment. Every single person here has a divine assignment from God. You were created and knit together in your mother's womb, and before you got there, he knew you. And he causes things to work together so that you would fulfill your divine assignment. Some of you have an assignment from God, but you refuse to surrender. So you're wondering where the blessing of God is. You wonder where the favor of God is. You wonder where the anointing is. You haven't surrendered. Look at your neighbor, smile at him, and ask them, have you surrendered to the will of the Lord? And by the way, you don't need to say this part, but by the way, when you do surrender, he actually causes your heart to incline to the things that he wants you to do, and you would want to do nothing else. And it is there that great blessing is found. Joseph, the second testimony that we read here, these testimonies at Christmas, the Christmas story, and Jesus wasn't born on December 25th, but we celebrate it then. For a number of reasons, perhaps I'll share that on Sunday morning. Joseph's faith is seen in his obedience. Seen in his obedience. Two sides of faith. One is surrender. Now here's the other one, obey. Obedience. Obedience has got to be lived out on a regular life, a regular basis in your life. And Joseph's obedience would even protect the child later as he obeyed to leave, to go to Egypt, fulfilling, not knowing that he was fulfilling the prophetic word, out of Egypt I've called my son. Well, I don't want to go to Egypt, Lord. Can you imagine that? And crazy Herod, having found out about the king, the savior of the world, it's a psychopath Herod, the Magi visit, and so he kills a genocide of children, 2 years old, males, 2 years old and younger, in Bethlehem. And there have been some in history that said, well, that didn't happen because there's no evidence of that. And then just a number of years back, they found what's called the grave of the innocents. They found babies' bones, 2 years old and younger, in Bethlehem. We were there. We saw it. And the bones of baby Jesus. Now, he wasn't in a manger. He would have been about 2. Jesus' bones would have been there had Joseph not obeyed. I'm convinced that we don't know what's on the other side of obedience. If you just obey, but does it make sense? Yes, reason is the guillotine of faith. Just trust God. Trust him. Trust his word. Obey. Just obey him. One of the other things that happened as I spent this time with Dr. Morocco over the past week or 2 weeks ago now is he kept talking about time. He kept talking about, he said, you know, I'm 73. I look back and I see things that God had me do 20, 30, 40 years ago are coming to bear now. He said, I had no idea. He said at another time when I was a younger man, I leaned more on the free will of God, on the free will of man, as opposed to the sovereignty of God. And there's a balance there, the free will of man. You have a free will. Mary could say no, but she said yes. Joseph could disobey, but he obeyed. They had a free will. God didn't make them do it. He didn't make you come tonight either. And he won't make you obey. He won't. That's not love. Love is not in some vacuum. Love is real. Love is that one man lays down his life for another. And this obedience is so key. Come on, lift your hands to heaven where I try to remember what I was saying. Holy Spirit. Oh. The act of obedience will bring victory and protection. I've told this story last night. I'll tell it again. I was in the Hawaiian Canoe Club in Kahului, Maui. I had been newly married. I was madly in love with my wife, and I would go and work out in a canoe, an outrigger canoe. And I learned how to do it, and I loved it. It was awesome. What a great sport. And what a great team. And they were pagans, most of them, and I was witnessing to them, and I would go, I think, every Thursday or Friday. I had practice, and the other times we were in church, and I think it was Fridays. We were in church, and we were in life groups, and we were serving, and God was raising us up, and it was before Hannah was born. And I was training to do this Kahakaloa race, I believe that's what it's called, from Kahului all the way around the head of Maui to Lahaina. May God strengthen and help the people of Lahaina. Can you say amen? And so I just finished practice. We had a good chance of winning the novice B team. First-year paddlers had a good chance of winning that race in our division. Karen shows up at the edge of the Pacific Ocean as we're just finishing practice, and she has this sad face. I'm like, what's the matter? She said, Dr. Morocco sent me to talk to you. He needs you to do something for him tomorrow. Tomorrow was the race. It was Saturday. I'm like, what? He needs you to be at this training with Doris Wagner. He wants you to go and represent him in the church. You probably more spiritual than I was back then, maybe, but I mean, you're like, oh, yes, oh, gosh, oh, let's go. No, that was not how I felt about it. I thought, can we plan a little better? I had all kinds of thoughts coming to mind. I'm going to let my team down? Like, we don't do that. I don't do that. We don't let the team down. We're going to follow through. We don't know how to quit. Just don't know how. It's in me like that. And yet my highest commitment was to the Lord and to Dr. Morocco, and I had told him, anything you ever need me to do, I will do it. It was my highest priority. I remember walking away from Karen, and we talked about it. Pastor Karen, she remembers it well. I walked towards the water. I'm weeping. I lift my hands. I'm like, seriously, God? And the Lord spoke to me and said, my people are in a valley. They're in a valley of decision. I'm going to send you, and you're going to get training there, and you're going to go. And I thought, okay. The next thing I had to do was turn to my coach and to my team, who we have practiced countless hours. And I said, I can't be in the race. My coach let a number of expletives out. The team was like, not happy. And they had a guy to take my place who wasn't nearly as strong and as good as I was. And I never paddled again. I was disgraced from the team, and I felt bad about it. However, I went Saturday and spent a whole day with C. Peter Wagner's wife and a handful of leaders. Doris Wagner, you may or may not know it, is the foremost trainer and imparter of ministry for deliverance ministry. There's no one better. And there's others now that have risen, but she was a founder in deliverance ministry, and an amazing impartation was given to me at that training all day on Saturday. The race went on without me, my substitute in my seat. Around the head of Kahakaloa, they got hit by a rogue wave that flipped over the canoe, and the guy that was in my seat fell into a giant Pacific man of war jellyfish and had to get air vacced out with an anaphylactic shock and was flown to the hospital, and he lived. And when I heard that, I just cried and I thought, oh God, I'm just going to trust you. I'm going to trust your leadership. I don't always understand, but I'm going to trust and obey because I know there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. You must trust and obey. Dare we take the step of faith, Pastor Gill? Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. You must trust and obey. How many of you know that one? Let's sing it again all together. It's quite simple. Ready? He said, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. You must trust and obey. You know, I've noticed singing as an older person is easier for me now, and I'm not quite sure why that is. There is truly no, you might get that on the way home. There's truly no other way to be happy. You've got to obey. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And if you don't understand, who are you? I mean, who are you to understand everything? You don't understand how planets don't crash into each other. I mean, they don't understand the brain. They don't understand. They don't understand lots of stuff. They're trying to figure it out. Some people still think the world is flat. Flatheaders, I think we might call them. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy. Jesus, you must trust. Joseph obeyed. Mary surrendered. Joseph obeyed. And you do not know what God will do. God will use you in ways that are beyond your imagination if you will surrender, if you will obey. If you don't, then he won't. He can't. If you don't obey his word, somebody said, I love God, I just love God. Well, if you love God, you just love God, then you'll obey his word. It's not so much warm and fuzzy. When you're in the valley, when you're in the fray, when you're in the battle, and your goosebumps aren't standing up. It's not about goosebumps. Whether you can feel his presence and power or not, you obey his word. And I've found that when I obey his word and I move forward, it is then that the Jordan part. It's then that the Red Sea parts. I don't always have to feel his presence. He's with me. I know theologically. I don't have to see the cloud. I'm thankful I see the cloud at times. I'm thankful I have encounters with God. But even when I don't, I know to do the right thing. If I do the right thing, I know he's going to turn out and fulfill what he said he would do. If you'll just trust and obey, he'll bring it to pass. Well, I don't want to. It doesn't feel like the right thing. I'm going to follow my heart. Jeremiah says your heart is deceitfully wicked, black, above all else. Follow your heart and you will crash and burn. You don't follow your heart. Your well-meaning grandmother and grandfather told you to follow your heart. Well, they didn't know that you actually are supposed to follow God's word and follow the leading of the Spirit of God. You don't know what the act of obedience will release God's power. You don't know what power will be really, oh gosh, I gotta say this, this is gonna sting. And if he can't trust you to do that, you expect him to do, give you more, to entrust you with more when you can't? Why would God give you more when you can't tithe and you're like, Lord, I just wanna be an international financier, sure. I'm gonna be right back. Amen, Pastor Daniel, that's powerful. Wow, if I obey, if I don't obey, how will he trust me with more? Exactly. Let's move on. These two are not told usually at this season in conjunction with Christmas, but I liked it and it fits well. Christmas faith is seen in Simeon and Anna. Their faith is seen in their perseverance. Perseverance. It took perseverance to finish this building. It takes perseverance to fulfill the plan of God. It didn't take you 6 months to get in the rat's nest you're in right now. You just gave your heart to Jesus. You're learning to walk in obedience, and you're like 30 days in. You're like, God doesn't just fix everything. He'll turn it all around. Just keep trusting him. But I want it now. I know. But you're not ready for it. Simeon had been spoken to by the Holy Spirit, see the consolation of Israel. So he sees the consolation of Israel, which is like joyous, and it's also his death sentence. He's like, now I'm going to die. I mean, how was that? He's like, he blesses them, he prophesies, and then he turns around. He's like, I guess I go home now. I mean, he's going to, that's it. The promise is fulfilled. He's going to go on to see the Lord. Then you have this Anna. And they both prophesied, which is interesting. It's an intertestamental period, but Jesus is born. It's really a New Testament, but some would say that they would be the first New Testament prophets. John the Baptist is not out in the wilderness just yet. They're cousins, 6 months apart. There's no prophet since Malachi, and yet the Holy Spirit is upon Simeon. I mean, that's just, it's powerful. It's a powerful picture of those who have retired, but they're in the house of the Lord serving. I'm going over here. It's a powerful picture that you don't ever retire. There's no such thing. What are you going to do? Push up daisies? You say, well, I'm done working. No, you're never done working for the Lord. You get plugged in, you start serving, you start praying, you start doing your part. It's not, I don't believe in retirement. I believe in refirement. I don't know. Then pastors say, well, I retire. It's not, you might let go of pastoring officially, but you're still a minister of the gospel. You're still helping people. He said, well, I'm not working for the school district anymore. Well, you're not done working for God. I mean, what are you going to do at home and do put together models all your life? What's that on your finger? Well, it's glue. I put together models every day. Well, that's great. I'm glad to have a great collection. They're all going to burn. Have your hobby. I'm not against hobbies, but for God's sake, serve in the house of the Lord. Can somebody say amen? Amen. So Anna is a picture of perseverance too. She's married and then married for 7 years, and her husband dies, and then she never leaves the temple. It's a picture of day and night, night and day prayer. It's a picture of people called to intercessory prayer, day and night, night and day. I'm telling you, this church will be a church that never closes. We are not there yet, but we will get there. We will have 24/7 prayer, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, a place where you can come and seek God at 3 a.m. We have a prayer room. We've made a vow to God to see it to come to pass, and it's going to take 236, I think it's, I might be off by a few, 236 people to run a full-time prayer meeting. Pastor Karen says it's 300 and something. It's a lot. To run a full-time, you need security, you need people leading, you need people serving to go around the clock. Where are they going to come from? God is going to bring them in from the north, south, the east, and west. Why is that? Because it says in the book of Malachi, I'm going to preach and prophesy for a second. It says in the book of Malachi, chapter 1 and verse 11, from the rising of the sun to the place of its going down, the name of the Lord will be made great among the Gentiles, and incense will arise from every place. God, you are releasing the incense of heaven, Lord, from Alaska, and you will receive your full reward from this state. We have pledged our lives to see it to come to pass. Bring in everything we need to go 24/7. Give us the strategy. Give us the plan. Give us the plan. Give us the strategy of how to do that. Thank you that others have gone ahead and done it. We don't want to reinvent the wheel, but we do want to alter it and tailor it according to what you want to do here. So God, help us to see that come to pass. An Anna anointing. An unction from Anna. Wow. They persevered. They had to wait. I've been waiting for something for many, many years, 30 years. Any of you have some promises and prayers you've been praying haven't come to pass yet? Don't stop praying. Don't quit. Don't throw in the towel. Perseverance. Perseverance is a beautiful thing. It's an aspect of faith. We're such an instant gratification culture. Listen, I want you to just test how much patience you have. Raise your hand if you have a microwave right now at your house. Okay. So how many of you heat water up in your microwave? Go ahead, raise your hand if you heat water up in your microwave. Okay. How many of you like maybe reheat a meal or something in your microwave? All right, very good. Just for when you have time, because it's going to take time, the next time you're wanting to heat something up or to heat up your meal or, you know, just warm something up, instead of using your microwave, just as an example, don't use it. And use a pan, use a pot, use something on your stove, and watch how irritated you get. You like turn it up, you watch water boil. Anybody know what I'm talking about? We don't have a microwave in our house. So that's one of the ways we help to, actually I've just forgotten about it now, it's just normal. Pastor Karen's against radiated food and didn't want to use them, so we don't. Haven't had one for many, many years. We're an instant gratification culture. God is not that way. God is not that way. And I'm convinced that many times as we're persevering, as we're waiting, something happens on the inside of us to mature us. Listen, we wanted this building in the first year that we got here. I'm talking 17 plus years ago now. And then when it was built, we wanted it right away too. And it took a long time. But it's not all that long in the view of eternity. But it took 7.5 years, 8 years. You know, I'm glad on one hand. And I've said this before. It did something to us as a congregation. It put something in us that never would have been, could not have been put in any other way. Y'all are tough. You have stick-to-itiveness, you have grit, you have resolve. You believed God. We're standing in what they said is impossible. That is how it is. You'll have to persevere. You have to wait. You have to endure at times. And I know you might want it right away, but you know, Father knows best. Used to be a popular TV show. The Lord knows best, and you need to persevere. Can you say amen? The shepherds' faith is expressed in their confession. They confessed. They were the first evangelists. They were the first witnesses. They were the first evangelists, and God chose shepherds to be the first evangelists. Why is that? Well, it's the same way that he had a woman declare, Mary declared that Jesus had risen again from the grave. I mean, why would God pick the shepherds? Why would God choose a woman? First of all, shepherds are not considered worthy to even vote. They were a separate caste of people. They smelled. They were different. They couldn't vote. They weren't considered worthy to testify about anything. And then why would God pick a woman? Because that's what happened. Women also were considered chattel. They were not honored in the culture in the first century. Why would God reveal himself to Mary, risen again from the grave? Because that's what happened. That is the real story. These are real stories. If you were to write it, you write it different. Who would pick the first evangelists to be shepherds? You know, we just read it like, oh yeah, the shepherds, yeah, and the angels, yeah. No, shepherds were, they were not someone that anybody spent time with. They were weird. They smelled like sheep, and they couldn't even, nobody would listen to them. And yet, God revealing himself to the Levitical shepherds of Bethlehem is a profound thing, which I will preach before this holiday is up. The Lamb of God, angels reveal to the Levitical shepherds that were raising lambs for the sacrifice in the temple, reveals himself to them first, the Lamb of God. Wow. And their faith is seen in their confession. They're praising God. We didn't talk about the wise men, but wise men talked about in Matthew's gospel talks about Jesus is king and God as king. It's a theme throughout Matthew. And Matthew has these wise men come. They are disciples of Daniel, most likely. They come from the east, probably from Babylon. There's a lot of different discussion about that. They follow a star for 2 years, a two-year camping trip. Come on, most of you, so maybe some of you came from Anchorage, maybe some from further, drove an hour, hour and a half maybe. It's a sacrifice to drive to church tonight perhaps, and I acknowledge that. God bless you. I've found certainly a church that's alive is worth the drive. I shared you the testimony in Antioch, California. We had the power conference, and this 10-year-old got baptized in the Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And then her friend came and got baptized in the Spirit. And there's this pileup of 10-year-olds over on the right side of the church. Well, the one 10-year-old had been coming to the church her whole life. Her mama brings her every Sunday, drives an hour and a half one way to bring the family to church in Antioch, California, and then drives back an hour and a half. And on that Monday, when that little girl woke up praying in the Spirit on Monday morning after the conference was over, praying in the Spirit, weeping with her Bible open, that's what her mother finds, her 10-year-old, weeping with her Bible open and says, "Mom, I'm going to school, and what God gave me on the weekend, I'm going to give to all my friends. I'm going to lay hands on my friends, and they're going to get touched by God." And she's like, "All right, sweetheart, let's pray." And she sends a text to Pastor Aaron, who forwarded it to me. It's in my phone. And the text says, "I am so glad I have driven all these years to Kings in Antioch, California, because I have my 10-year-old on fire, impacting her school, driving to church 1.5 hours is worth it. All the gas, all the, I'm telling you, where you go to church can mean whether you live or die. It's important. Where you go, you ought to hear from God where you're going, not whether it's convenient, whether you drive there. Somebody told me, oh, there's a new family is coming. They came and they're coming now. They're driving from Anchorage every week. Somebody said, well, that's crazy. They should find a church that's closer. Maybe there isn't one like this in Anchorage. I don't know. I mean, God bless the body of Christ. But you should go where God called you to go, and there's times where there's sacrifice. And these wise men, they sacrificed. They brought three prophetic gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You know what's interesting? I was studying just for a little bit before a service about myrrh and frankincense. You know where it comes from? It comes from a tree. You know how they get it? They slash the tree. And the sap comes out, and they take that off and they slash it again and they take that off and the third time brings a grade A frankincense or grade A myrrh. It's sap. And it's ingredients that were used for frankincense for the anointing oil, and myrrh is used for embalming. And gold is a picture of deity. These three wise men, there's three gifts. There's not three wise men. We don't know how many wise men. There's just three gifts that we know. We call it three wise men. That's from the song or something. Not necessarily three. Three prophetic gifts. Sacrificial. 2 years to go to one church service. Sacrificial to bring these incredible prophetic gifts. And then a sacrifice to go back. All the money it took. All the resources it took. They had to leave. Come on, you've been on a camping trip? Come on, some of you went hunting for 2 or 3 weeks. That's costly. You got to leave your job. You got to take vacation. You got to bring all the ammo. You got to bring all the food. Your four-wheeler, maybe you fly in. I mean, can you? 2 years. 2 years. And you don't get a moose. You get to worship for a moment. All right. Our response to these five testimonies. And could I have some keys, my brother? Be encouraged to be like them. Be someone surrendered to the will of God, like Mary. Be someone who will obey. It doesn't have to make sense. We walk by faith, not by sight, not by sense. Since senses, we walk by faith. You don't have to understand. Just do it. Just trust Him. Surrender, Mary, Joseph, obedience. What's number three? You got your notes? Perseverance, Simeon and Anna, they persevered. And we think, I just want to be like the Apostle Paul. Awesome. He was 14 years in Antioch making tents before he went into the ministry like full time. Did you catch that? 14 years, he was a life group leader and he was making tents for 14 years before he went out. I'm not saying it has to take 14 years. God has a timeline, but just trust him. He can elevate very quickly and it can take a while. God's more concerned about your character. Some of you have an anointing beyond your character. It will kill you. You got to put character in first to carry the anointing. To carry the anointing, what does that mean? The power of God, the presence of God. And I think they can come together simultaneously, but you'll be tested in your character for sure. And there's times when things don't just happen and you got to pray and you got to fast and you got to persevere. Somebody asked me about the building. How did you guys do it? And my quick answer is, we just didn't quit. We just kept declaring, kept showing up, God. I've actually somebody come and say, wow, man, you're like, heard about what you did. I'm like, what I did? What are you talking about? It's what God did through us all. It's no one man. It's a team, powerful team. Unified, persevering. Where are you going to quit? Where are you going to go? Where are you going to go? I quit a lot. Just thinking about talking to my new son, Derek. I don't like son-in-law. I'm just going to call you son. I don't like the in-law part. Just, I don't know. And then in-love sounds kind of queer. I don't like it. It's a... Just sounds like you need to tighten up a little bit if you say that. Anyway, I'm just going to call you son. And he was an All-American. And I could have been an All-American. I told you that. I could have been an All-American. I had the opportunity in lacrosse to be an All-American. But I did things to destroy that. Just made choices that undermined that. There's times where I could have won big sporting events and I hated myself. I had self-hatred and would constantly set myself up to lose self-fulfilling prophecy that I was not worthy. I'm healed of all that. Thank God. I remember when I came into the church, I wanted to leave so bad. I just wanted to move again. I would do these geographical moves, you know. You know, everywhere you go, there you are. You can try to move away from yourself, but there's no plane, there's no train, there's no car, no automobile. There's nothing that's going to get you away from you because where you are, that's where you'll be. And you can end up with another man or another woman or another situation or another circumstances, another job, and you'll still be you until you get transformed, until you get healed. And you can try to get a new wife or a new husband, and you're the one that's a jerk. You need to be healed. You need to be set free. And be like, well, they don't understand me. No, you're broken. And so this came flooding in one service as a revelation. And I was just like, man, I'm out of here. And the Lord said, no, you're not. He said, where are you going anyway? I mean, kind of like, haven't you done enough of that? And I had, it's the strangest thing, but I had a picture of a cowboy boot. It was my father's cowboy boots that he didn't wear. And I found them when I was a little boy on Highwood Road in Oldfield, Long Island, and I brought the boot to my mother, and I said, Mom, who's on the second row, why is the boot angled like that? Why does a boot have an angle like that? She said, well, that's a cowboy boot, and they're like that, so when they rope, they put their heels out, and it digs into the ground so that they don't get pulled along the ground. I thought, oh, decades and decades later, I'm in a church service. The Lord says, you're not going anywhere, and I have a vision of that boot. I have a vision of the boot, a cowboy boot. He says, you're staying. Dig in. You're staying here. The rest of your life, you're staying here. That was a long time ago. Man didn't get me into this place, and there ain't no man that could get me out. I'm going to persevere. I'm going to finish the race. Can somebody say amen? How about you make the commitment to persevere? Where are you going to go? Oh, they offended me. They didn't appreciate me. Duh. Who are you doing it for? If you haven't been appreciated lately, I so appreciate you. Every one of you be appreciated. Be blessed. Appreciate you serving, giving, praying. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I mean it with all my heart. Thank you. But truly, who are you doing it for? Christmas faith, as I bring this to a close. Surrender like Mary. Obey in your life like Joseph. Persevere like Simeon and Anna. Number four, evangelize, confess, talk about what God's done for you. Invite people. Invite them Sunday. Invite them this Sunday. Say, hey, man, you want to go to like an awesome service? It's like the most incredible thing. All these candles. Come on, come with me Sunday night. They have this. It's beautiful. It's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. You can exaggerate. The Lord will forgive you. Invite people. Invite people Sunday morning. Invite people Sunday night. Well, they can't. They're traveling. Then invite them for next Wednesday. Invite them for the next Sunday. Invite them to the New Year's service. Invite them to your life group. Come on, bring them to morning prayer. Invite people. How will they know unless someone tells them? And how can someone tell them unless someone doesn't go? Come on. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Too high for me right there. I hurt my own ears. Lastly, sacrifice. Lift your hands to heaven. Be encouraged. Grow in faith. Grow your faith through God's word. Here's the application on the screen now. Grow your faith through God's word. C, commit yourself to help others grow in their faith. Who are you helping? Who are you discipling? So, well, I just got here. So reach out to someone who's not here. Help someone. If all you do is hear the word and don't do it and don't help somebody else, you will limit your maturity in God. Commit yourself to help others grow in faith. Model faith. You be a person of obedience. You be a person of surrender. You be a person of prayer. You be a person of the word. You be a person of sacrifice. Let your kids see you signing your tithe check. Let your children see you give. Let your children see you go the extra mile. Let your children see you help people that need help. Let them see you. Let you model Christianity. You model Christ like this at Christmas. Share your faith with others. Come on. Do you get something?
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.